beautiful day. Have you seen all those beautiful flowers out there? I love the flowers. But you know, something that's even more beautiful to me is all these nice faces that we have in here. People wanting to serve the Lord. And that's more important than anything in all this world. Thy will be done. What a wonderful phrase. I want to think about that this morning, the importance of the issue of whose will is going to be done. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he come to his disciples and finds them asleep, and says unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How I empathize with that. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink of it, thy will be done. In those words is the very focus and heart of our relationship with God. The question, the issue, the relationship depends upon whose will is going to be done. On the one hand, if we have our will, then we make mistakes, we have false ideas, we are limited. And the world seeks to go after their own will. Not thy will, but mine be done. And that's the problem with this world. Because people don't trust God and they don't let God be God. Instead, they make themselves God. Or gods of their own image. Things that they want. Thy will be done. The other hand is that God's will is done. And when that takes place, we have the right answer because He's the one who created it all. And He's given us His Word. He's given us His master plan, the workbook by which we should be living and the things that we should be following that would make this world a better place. And to the extent that we digress from what His will is to our will, we rely upon our fallible limitations, our guesses, our wishes, and what we want. And of course, we get the results that doesn't turn out good. And then we say, oh, where is God? Why doesn't He solve our problems? And we try to make God be what we want instead of what He wants. Because of that, we make a lot of messes of our own lives. We fall short. We get what we make. We want it our way. And so instead of His will, which would be good, it is our will which messes it up. Let's look at the features of these things, of the nature of God and how God's will works to give us what is good. First, let's look at the manifestations of God's will. And I see God's will manifested in Jesus. Jesus is the very heart of God's will. And in Him we see the answers that really solve things. John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing as I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So in Christ, Christ makes the Father's will His will. He emptied Himself, took the form of a servant, and thus He manifests the kind of a will we should have. Hebrews 10:7 says, Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. John 6:38-40 says, For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given unto me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. If have God's will be done, this is going to be the product. He sent us, He planned, He designed, He gave us these opportunities, and He has given us to Jesus. And it's God's will that He should lose nothing. Now it depends on whether our will matches His will as to whether that will be accomplished. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have an everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So God has this will, that if we believe on Him, we can have everlasting life, and we will be raised up at the last day. John 7:16-18 says, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine, or my teaching, is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is be of God, or whether I speak for myself. I've always treasured that scripture, because there's a promise in that. If we have the will to do His will, then He has a promise that He, whether it is God or whether He speaks from Himself, we're going to know the truth. I remember as a young person when I first started thinking about God, and the question came, is there a God? What should I do? I wanted to know. Things weren't panning out in my life, and I needed something else. And I became exposed to the gospel. And as I struggled with that, and I needed help, and I needed another answer for my life, I remember raising my voice and praying to God and saying, if there is a God, show me that You are real. And He did. And I've had over my life many manifestations of God's working in my life. The very fact that we're here. I mean, we started back in 1954. We came out here. We had less than $5 in our pocket. And went out and bought a house the next day. And moved into it the same day. That's crazy. It isn't something that you, any good person with good sense would plan for. But we didn't know any different. We didn't know we couldn't do it. Imagine. And if we hadn't been given some money on the way, which we didn't ask for, we wouldn't even have been able to have bought the house. I wouldn't even got here. I mean, it was a disaster. Everything was built into it. It was a disaster. An old 1932 truck was about ready to fail. We drove it 30 miles an hour to get here so that we had to drive slow because we were afraid to throw a rod or something. And we get here at night and some people let us stay over to college over here, and went up and bought a house the next day. That's just crazy. I've seen that over and over in our lives. Seen God's working. So I know by personal experience that if we have the will to do His will, God will help us to know what His will is and the answers for our needs. I believe that. And I've never seen it to fail. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true and no one unrighteous in him. It's a basic principle. If you're out for your own glory, then you're not too much to be trusted. But if we seek the glory of God, then we have the answers for our lives. We live righteously. The second point that I want to make is that the challenges of His will. You know, some people got the idea that they kind of make God in their own image. You know, whatever I want, I get. I don't have to do anything. I'm not accountable to anybody. I just make it up the way I want it, and that's God. And if God says something different, then forget it. I don't need that. I have the answers. Or maybe they put their hopes in some sociologist or some book or some latest psychiatric report or child's way of teaching, some doctor or something. And so we've got all of this stuff is put out here in our political system, the corruption that goes on in the world. Everybody's doing his own thing. The Bible, like in the Old Testament, it said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and there was a mess because of it. And that's what we've got. It's a mess. I see, here we have now, we're going to have gay marriage. Well, the Bible plainly speaks against it. You know, I didn't write that. I didn't write it. It's here. The Bible talks about a man and a woman marrying. It doesn't talk about a man and a man or a woman and a woman. It talks about marriage and the sanctity of it. But God has some challenge for His will. If we're going to follow the will of God, Matthew 16:24-26. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if a many man will come after me, let him, what? You're going to have your own way? You're going to have what you want? Is it God going to sit on the throne, or are you going to sit on the throne? That's the difference between the ultimate eternal destiny and success. Who is going to sit on the throne? And if you're going to run things, you get your results. But when He runs things, He will ultimately come out on top. If any man deny himself and take up his cross, you know, people have the idea that if you become a Christian, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be good. Well, God does do a lot more good, I find, for Christian people. They get along a lot better and they have better families and better relationships. My life has been a blessing. I mean, I've just been overwhelmingly blessed over the years. God gave me a great wife. One of the best things, it was the best thing I ever got. She helped keep me in line. I really need that. I got a nurse for my old age. You know, God has been good to me, but I can't expect that nothing ever bad will ever happen. And amazingly, nothing really serious ever has. But there's the cross to bear. And I've had sometimes to have to just say, whatever comes and whatever anybody does, I'm going to stand on what God said. It's the only way I know. If we don't take that attitude to God and let God be God, then we're hypocrites. How can we hope? Why take this book and profess that I'm a Christian and then refuse to follow it and say, I'm going to do things my way? Who is God? Whose will are we going to follow? Take up his cross, the difficulties, the struggles, the pain. Jesus didn't, you know, that cross wasn't a nice little thing that Jesus wore around his neck. He had it on his shoulder. And, you know, it wasn't nice and smooth and varnished. It was full of slivers. It was rough. It was heavy. It wasn't a nice thing. But he took his cross. And we need to take our cross and follow him. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So we got a choice. If we're going to have it our way, we may save our lives, if you want to call it that. But in the end, we lose. It's only if we let God be God and his will be done that we're going to ultimately march in the victory parade. For what is it, man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, people are bought and sold at the cheapest price. They sell out for a mess of pottage. They sell out for some sex. They sell out for some booze. They sell out for drugs. They sell out for pride, for whatever. People sell cheap. They sell cheap. They sell for nothing. A little bit and it's gone. The next day they got to get another fix or whatever it is. Cheap. Because they don't let God be God. Thy will be done. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We need to recognize that this body and the goodies of this life, it's all going to go. There's not a thing you're going to take with you. Somebody said that we need to lay it up in heaven. Send it on ahead, because we're not going to have it, take it with us. That no longer should live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's the key. That's the answer. You know, if we're going to talk about being a Christian, we're going to go, don't just join a church. I don't care whether it's here or anyplace else. Don't be just a joiner. Christianity needs to start right here with our relationship with God and our willingness to die for him and take some difficulties into our lives, to face choices where God is going to be given the right over us as opposed to what men think and the attitudes and the pleasures of this life. We should not live in the flesh to the lust of him, but to the will of God. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's the two choices. Either we love God or we love the world, and we can't have it both. It's one or the other. For all that is in the world, what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, that's as old as Eden, back in the beginning. The first two went through the temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They looked upon the fruit and saw that it was good to eat. And they desired it. And then they wanted to be wise like God. Jesus was tempted the same way with the three same temptations. Look around and see, and I'll give you all this world. I'll give you a piece. You make some bread, you know. Those things just don't work. And Jesus, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. And the world, here's the problem. The world passes away. You're not going to take a thing with you. None of this is going to survive. Your body isn't going to survive. Your car isn't going to survive. Your house isn't going to survive. Every single thing you've got is going to be gone. It's going to deteriorate. It's going to fail. Lay up treasures in heaven where God keeps it faithfully and safely. The world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, and these things are all going to pass away. But the will of God abides forever. You want something that's going to last? Then get hold of what God said. Get serious. Christianity is not something to play with. It's not a game. Get serious about it. I'm going to live for God, not because I feel a certain way, or not because somebody, it's a nice thing that everybody likes. Get hold of God's will. And it's going to go sometimes against the way you feel. But it's the thing that's going to remain. You'll have that in the end. If you're going to be a gambler, gamble on that. You know, throw your money on that. It's you're going to win. You can't lose. Romans 12:2. And he went, and be not conformed to this world. People are always imitating. They're imitators, like a bunch of monkeys looking in a mirror, you know, got to dress like them, got to smile like them, got to do like them. Monkey see, monkey do, you know. Our society is a bunch of imitators. They just play games with each other in the mirror. What we need to do is get serious about God. And then, instead of being imitators and reflections of ourselves, we become movers. We have an effect on others for good. Not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts right here. You've got to renew your mind according to what God's will is, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want something that's perfect? You want something that's going to last? You know, diamonds is a girl's best friend, they say, because it lasts. Well, they lose them too, you know. And people steal them, and they die and leave them. So the question is, what is going to last? What is going to remain when all this is over with? Well, I just made up my mind. No matter what happens, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay in the game. I'm going to keep putting one foot ahead of the other until I die. That's the way it's going to be. That's the only hope that I have. All this other stuff is junk. Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. How much is time worth? How much is time worth? Think about it. It comes, you can't keep it. You just have a minute, and every minute has only a certain amount of time in it. But it's nothing going to last. It just goes. But you know, time is the record and the opportunity of your life. Time is the beginning of eternity. And every moment that ticks away you've wasted is one little bit that you've lost that you never can retrieve again. We need to redeem the time. We need to take advantage of it while we have it. The time's going to come when you aren't going to be able to do a lot of the things that you do now. I'm telling you, right? Let me give you a secret, you know. Yeah, the day is going to come when you can't hardly get out of your chair, and you're going to find that it isn't easy anymore. And you're going to begin to, as you get up there, you see the. You know, when I was a kid, I remember I had a driving a car one night with a bunch of kids in it. My wife was in it too, and we were out on a back road following another car. And it was dusty, you know, I could see the taillights, and we're in a hurry and trying to keep up with them, and pretty soon the taillights go out, and so I speed it up because I want to try to catch up with them. All of a sudden I see a fence across the road. We're coming into a T road, and I had to make a choice. What do I do, turn and roll the car, or do I just go ahead and take my chances on the ditch? Well, I took my chances on the ditch. Banged up the car a lot and banged some of us up. But you know, when I stepped on that brake to try to stop, time stood still. Have you ever been in that position? Time stands still. You're just going along. You know that's going to happen. You don't know exactly maybe what it's going to be. But you know that you have no choice over it, and you're just sliding and sliding and sliding and sliding, and all of a sudden, bam! Well, you know, time is important. And we need to use it and not waste it. Don't, as young people, need to not throw their time away. They've only got one opportunity to go through this. Get ready for your adulthood. Learn to be a real Christian. Prepare a good marriage. And don't waste it. We're preparing for eternity. As you get older, the time you can see the end of the road coming up here. And you can see it coming up, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And you can just, try to put the brakes on, but you're sliding toward the end. And you may not know just how far it is. I don't know whether it's 5 years from now. I'm 79 years old in June 12th. And I feel like I'm sliding right up to that crossroad. And I don't know what's going to happen, what it's going to be like, but it isn't very far off. Few short years. 5 years? When I was 5 years old, you know, that was a little time. And that's the way it's going to be. We have to realize that time is getting away from us. We need to get serious and take advantage of the time we have now to do something, lay up something in heaven for God. We need to fill up the barns in heaven and not just the things on this earth. Try to prepare for our old age, you know. You can never put enough money away for your old age. And that's okay to try. I'm not saying no to ever do it. But I'm saying you, what about your eternal age? You got something laid up there? Are you prepared? Are you ready? The day is going to come. People are always concerned about a flood here or there or something, earthquake, how many people were killed. Do you know that every one of us are going to be dead in a few years? You're going to die. Well, think about that. Well, let's not talk about that. I don't want to see anybody dead. Well, I'm going to tell you, the day is going to come when everybody in this city is going to be dead, and it ain't going to be very long. You may think it's going to be a long time, but it's going to be very short. The day will come very quickly. And we've seen a lot of our old saints here pass away. They're gone now, and we miss them. But it's real. Get real. The will of God. Redeem the time. Wherefore you're not unwise, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's the only thing you can count on. There isn't anything else you can count on. That's the only thing. Because everything else is going to go. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers. We're not to just be putting on a show, a little play, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. We need to do it. Christianity is not a thing just about to believe or talk about. Christianity is a doing thing. And the will of God is a doing thing. We do it. And we need to do it from the heart. Not because we have to fit this person or that or please somebody. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You know what sanctification is? Anybody know what sanctification is? What is sanctification?
Set apart.
Set apart. That's right. It's to set apart, to establish for a holy purpose, sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now, there's one of the things. We need to knock that kind of behavior off. Get rid of fornication. The world is full of it. You turn on the television, every place you look, every book you read, everything's constantly. People are involved in fornication. And it pervades even the church. It's sad. I see young people not listening and getting in trouble. Fornication is your enemy. It's not. It may feel good, but I'm telling you right now, there's huge problems. Don't do it. It isn't the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to thank God. You know, He gives us all this stuff. We shouldn't be like a pig that just, when an acorn drops on his head, looks up and grunts. You know, we need to have some serious prayer and thanksgiving. Do you thank God every day for all you have? Every day I thank God for my wife. Thank God. You really got something great, you know. Thank God for the flowers. Thank God for the fields. Thank God for the heavens. But most of all, thank God for His Word and His salvation and Jesus Christ who brought it all to us. The benefits of His will. Let's take a look at some of these benefits. James 1:18, of His own will He begat us with the word of truth that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. Begat means to bring us to being born. We are born of God. We become a child of God. In Mark 3:32-35, and the multitude sat about Him, and they said unto Him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And He answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? And He looked around on them which sat about Him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. We're the part of the family of God. What a great privilege we have to be with those who love each other and who have a similar, the same Father, and we are all His children. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If we are a child of God, God gives us His Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us. He makes intercession for us, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us, because we don't know how. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And this, that, if you, so we get into the kingdom of heaven. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears us, if it's according to his will. James 5:7-10. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Want to be lifted up? This is one of the benefits of being a Christian. We get lifted up in Christ. It's great to be a Christian. You know, there's an old song. Do you, any of you remember that old song, It's Grand to Be a Christian? Oh, it's grand to be a Christian. Yes, it's grand. Amen. Remember that? Kids used to sing it all the time. Drive us crazy with it. Go now, do you say, today or tomorrow, you will go to such and such city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Remember we're talking about time? Huh? Puff of smoke. That's your life. As you get older, you begin to realize that as you start puffing a lot. Well, that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We need to recognize God's grace in giving us this life. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, after his manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Can you pray that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Is that the way it's going to be? In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 3:15 through 17. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the Lord will, if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 2:15. For so is it the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory be forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 6:13. Wherefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. The will of God, thy will be done. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What wonderful things we find in the Scriptures to encourage us and to give us hope. And it's the only thing that really is going to... It's the only thing that's going to be there when Jesus comes again. It's the only thing that's going to remain. So we need to get really serious about being Christian. Get serious about letting the will of God be done in your life. Let's be standing and sing a song of invitation.